welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast. This is episode 74. And yet again, I have here with me my longtime co-host, Arthur Sossins. Hello, Arthur. How are you doing?
Hello. Doing awesome right now.
Okay. I hope you are enjoying this.
Yeah.
I hope you're enjoying the summer because over here it's winter. And so I have to wear an additional coat. It's always upside down.
Your winter is warmer than our summer.
Yeah. Our winter is—it's a joke. You just put a small coat. Okay. Anyway, we are here to talk about PHP, and as always, I'm going to start just giving a brief overview about what we are going to talk about for all people that want to just have a brief summary. Can you see my screen?
Yep. Everything is good.
So, that was too much.
Now it's perfect.
Okay, so we are going to start, as always, from the latest versions of PHP, starting PHP 5.5.38, and then PHP 5.6.24, and then PHP 7.0.9. And we will cover one vulnerability that it may be affecting your PHP applications or not, or even applications in your in other languages that is related with a way to inject a value for a proxy server to send to remote requests. And there is another article here about precisely this topic. So it gives you an idea of what is this vulnerability, so you can check if your applications are vulnerable or not. Then we start talking about the usual PHP proposals. There were several proposals this past month. First, we talk about a proposal that is meant to change a bit the way you use calls, fluent calls to objects. And it's an alternative to using the return this statement. So the next call in the chain will be able to call the same object. The next proposal is about dropping SSL to support in PHP 7.1. We'll get back to this with more details. Then there is a proposal to move some extensions without maintainers to the Pecco repository. We'll talk about which are those extensions and what is expected to happen. Then there is an idea to implement auto-loading for functions using dummy namespaces. This is actually a revival of a past proposal that did not seem to be approved. So this is an alternative for the that proposal. Then we have a proposal to add support for HTTP methods in the built-in PHP web server besides GET and POST. Then there is a proposal for a feature that they call lazy statements, that you can assign variables to some code that is only evaluated when the values of those variables are accessed for the first time. Then there is a proposal to return the class name when you call the get type function instead of just the type that is object. Then there is an RFC for what is called a structured object notation, which is meant to provide an alternative way to the way that you usually create objects and call its functions. using a different syntax. Then there is finally a proposal to issue a warning when you are trying to access a value that is not really an array and you request a certain index. So basically, these are the main topics that we are going to start covering right now. First, getting back to the PHP versions. As I mentioned, there was updates to PHP 5.5, 5.6, and 7.0. And the main concern, besides the usual bugs that were fixed, were on a vulnerability called HTTPoxy. I'm not sure what is the right way to pronounce this vulnerability. And about this, I have actually written an article because this affects PHP applications that call remote web services, send requests to remote servers. So how does this vulnerability work is even a bit amazing, because this vulnerability seems to be there like for many, many years. What happens is that, for instance, in the case of PHP, when PHP receives a request, there are some headers that the request sends to the server, and PHP converts the values of those headers to environment variables or super globals that have the name of the request header name changed to uppercase and having a prefix HTTP underscore. So in the case, if for some reason there is a request header named proxy, like we see here, its value is passed to PHP as an environment variable called HTTP underscore proxy. So PHP can access this variable with server HTTP proxy or getemp HTTP proxy. So what was the vulnerability? Is that there are certain libraries that were actually looking at an environment variable with the same name HTTP proxy to an eventual global setting in the server that would define that all requests sent to remote servers would go through a proxy server that is assigned to this an environment variable with this exact same name. So there were PHP environments that use certain libraries that would check this environment variable to actually take that value and use it for sending requests to remote servers using a given proxy. So an attacker, what he could do is to send a manually craft a request with a fake proxy header, because there are no headers, request headers called proxy, but since the most languages used for web programming follow the CGI conventions, there will be this conversion between the headers and environment variables. So an attacker could set send a request with the proxy header and make the PHP script handling this request, if it sends requests to remote servers, to use a HTTP proxy. So if you got me right, now you can imagine that this could be a serious vulnerability if you are using any PHP libraries that could use this variable, and all the requests could pass through a proxy server that would be from an attacker. So it could intercept all requests sent to remote servers, could steal the, for instance, in the case of all OAuth requests, could steal the values of API applications, tokens, and so on. Could everything that passes through the proxy, including responses with sensitive data, the attacker could steal this information. So I wrote this article because I have a class named PHP OAuth Library API, which uses an HTTP client class that I also developed. And just to say that these classes are not vulnerable to this eventual vulnerability, because they never look at the HTTP proxy environment variable, even if it is set. But it seems there are some reasonably popular PHP libraries that use, that at least until this vulnerability was disclosed, they used to look at this environment variable. And there was at least one well-known application, which is Drupal, that was using one of those libraries. So there was a patch to update Drupal and any other libraries that were affected by this problem. One interesting thing that this problem is not specific to PHP, there were libraries in other languages that were also affected. Arthur, have you heard about this vulnerability? I think nowadays you use more Node.js, right?
Yeah, I don't think that Node.js does anything like that, converting heading names to some variables, especially like environment ones that are just in the request object and you access them as properties. And so I don't think Node.js would be vulnerable in that way.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine any other way to.
This is a convention defined by the CGI specification, which is very old, and most web servers follow it. So how to mitigate this problem? For instance, if you have an environment on which the customer does not even know that he is vulnerable to this vulnerability, the developers of several web servers have issued a new version that simply filters the proxy request header. So they still convert the values to environment variables before they call whatever is handling the request, could be PHP or other language. But they filter the proxy header. So this is one of the solutions. For PHP, these last versions that I mentioned before also filter the proxy request header in case it appears, because it does not make sense. It does not have a meaning, neither in HTTP 1.1 nor HTTP 2. So, this is something that you should look in your environment if you are using any libraries that use this environment variable. Either you upgrade or fix your code in case it is your own libraries. So anyway, there is this article. If you want to know more, you just read this article and it explains all you need to know in more detail. Okay, moving on to this to the proposals. There is one proposal for PHP 7, which would be to use in those calls to using fluent interfaces on which you call multiple functions of the same object one after another. So the usual idea is to return this. I mean, each function would return this object. So the next function call uses that object to call the object again. So the proposal here is to replace that usual code with just this indication of self. But let me share the screen, which will probably help to understand better what is being proposed. So instead of putting a return this in the end of the function, you would declare it with this syntaxes, which is usually for type hinting, except that in this case it's not type hinting, it's just telling the code to return this value. I'm not sure if this is going to be useful because it will not save much code typing, but I don't know what is the value that the author of this proposal has seen on this. Arthur, what do you think? Could this be useful or just exchanging half a dozen by six?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is jQuery. I think they were the first where I saw using such chaining method. And usually I'm against sugar syntax and such stuff, but I don't know why, but I really like chaining. So I really enjoy it in jQuery, in JavaScript. I even tried to introduce chaining in one other library framework in Lua that I was working on and stuff like that. So really like this idea, but about the proposal, I really don't see much of difference of writing return this or a colon self. So what I would prefer would be better like setting for the whole class, which would mean all class methods should return self, if not return anything else, not for each method separately, but for whole class.
But then maybe you could have some methods that they did not return, you did not want to return self. I'm not sure. This, in terms of saving some code typing, it's not a great amount of characters that we'll save, but I don't know, maybe the author had other perceived value, like for instance in this case colon self would override return this value, so probably it could throw a error because of a mistake, but I don't know if people would make these kinds of mistake to see the value of this proposal. Anyway, from what I've seen, there the other developers were not very enthusiastic with this proposal, so it probably will not get very far. Anyway, moving on to the next proposal that we are going to discuss. This proposal is about dropping SSL2 in PHP 7.1. As you may be aware or not, SSL2 is vulnerable. I'm not a security expert. I'm not even able to explain all the types of vulnerabilities of SSL2. Also, SSL3 seems to also be vulnerable. But the fact that it's vulnerable, it does not mean that dropping support to all vulnerable versions is a good idea, because there are many servers out there that are still supporting only old SSL versions. The idea is to move on to TLS, probably not even TLS 1, not 1.1, probably 1.2. But these changes need to be done gradually, because there is always lots of code out there that relies on old library versions. In this proposal here, they even mentioned that OpenSSL 1.1 doesn't support SSL2 anymore. So for PHP 7.1, the support to will be dropped. I think it makes sense because if you are going to upgrade to a newer PHP version, you are going to make at least a few tests to make sure whatever services you are calling will still work. And if they do not work, you'll figure it why. Maybe the remote servers that you are calling also need to be upgraded. So I think in general, this is a good idea. And while they are at it, dropping SSL3 may also be a good idea, but I think they are considering it, doing it one PHP version at a time. I don't know. Do Artus, have you updated any libraries or servers to not support these old SSL versions, or maybe Node.js is too young to still have these problems?
It's actually even more complicated. We needed to support HTTP2, so we built ng-HTTP2 library, which depends on specific OpenSSL version, which also have only source code, but not releases for our operating system. So basically, we're building everything from sources right now, but yeah, but we're using basically latest libraries.
You mean you have... Yeah, you have servers like have old OpenSSL versions that do not support newer TLS versions. Is that the case?
No, it's mostly due to supporting HTTP2 without SPDE, but through other library, through ng-HTTP2. And that's why we needed the latest OpenSSL, which is not yet in releases, I think. So basically, yeah, we're not depending on existing like dependencies or libraries for Node.js, but building ourselves from sources and binding them to JS code.
Yeah, but well, in this case, they are dropping SSL support, SSL 2 support.
Yeah, I think it's for the versions for, that they're using.
Yeah, for it's just for sending requests to remote servers. So the concern is more on what the remote servers support. If you drop SSL2 and the remote servers only support SSL2, your calls to the remote servers may not work. It's more something that you probably do not control. Okay, so moving on to the next topic, we are going to comment about certain extensions that will eventually be dropped support, or at least moved to Pekkle because they lack of maintainers. They over in this post, Stanislav Malyshev mentioned WDDX and XML RPC. This WDDX is so old, I never used it. It is from the times of Cold Fusion. Do you remember Cold Fusion?
I've heard the word.
Yes, you heard it was used by the dinosaurs. And there was an extension that was added then to PHP, so it could probably deal better with sites that use ColdFusion. But I think that is all dead now. Now, XML RPC is still used by certain applications, and this is more concerning. There was actually one author, one developer, that mentioned that he works for Moodle. So he is concerned that since Moodle uses the XML RPC extension, he may have there may be problems with people that are using Moodle. So he said he has actually found a bug in that extension of XML RPC client. So he's volunteering to maintain that extension, and I think it will be kept in PHP 7.1. So it will not be moved to Pekkle. Well, that's what I got from this. No, I think it makes sense. There are probably other PHP applications that also use XML RPC. I'm not sure if it is WordPress, but there are others. certainly out there. So I don't think it would be a good idea to drop XML RPC extension for PHP 7.1 or even future versions. So moving on to the next topic, we are going to talk about, here it is. We are going to talk about one topic which is related with autoloading of global functions. There were proposals for this in the past. Specifically, there was this one that was presented by Anthony Ferrara, and he defined it. Namespace PHP to represent autoloading of functions, classes, constants, and even stream handling classes, I suppose. But for that, this proposal is for last year, but for some reason it did not went through. Actually, now let me see if there were. I think there is not even a vote for this. This proposal is even older. It's from 2013, and it was proposed here, and now the discussion comes back to autoloading of functions. I think it makes sense because not everybody uses classes for everything, and there is a lot of code out there that is based on global functions. So the idea to have a way to autoload the scripts that define functions is interesting. The proposal is a bit changed. They defined the namespace underscore function to trigger the autoloading. I mean, to call the autoloader.
Interesting part is actually that, as he mentions in the text, that a common response, why not, is that you can just use a class with static methods and thus leverage the existing autoload mechanism. But the introduction of static class or abstract final class, in part with the opposite justification that you shouldn't need the class to hold static methods now that we have namespace functions.
So I think this makes sense. Well, anyway, whoever uses global functions these days must have found a way around doing some autoloading of scripts that define those functions. But it would still be nice to have a way to do autoloading of functions. Probably
no autoloader a class in PHP classes that loads functions?
Because autoloaders are meant for classes, at least originally. So for functions, global functions,
that would be a problem.
Yeah, there is no way to trigger the autoloader. Of course, nowadays most people is programming with classes, but it would still be nice for people that want to use global functions to have a way to autoload the global functions. So that is the proposal. Let's move on to another topic, which is, this one is a simple one, is about adding support for arbitrary HTTP methods in the built-in web server. So PHP nowadays comes with a built-in web server, but it only supports GET and POST methods. The idea here is to enable the support to other methods and let PHP handle the requests values, like could be used stdin file to read the input. Is it stdin or... I'm not even sure because I rarely need to deal with other methods than GET and POST. But there are ways to read the request data in case you want to access it. So the idea here is to just enable it in the built-in web server. Okay, moving on to the next proposal. This proposal is actually interesting. I've never seen this feature in any language, but I don't know all the languages. Anyway, the proposal here is to have a so-called a lazy statement that you could assign to a variable, for instance, or even a function argument. So after you assign this lazy statement, the actual value of the variable would not be assigned immediately. It would only be assigned when the variable is accessed for the first time. That's what I watched from this. And it could also, I think it could also, yes, the idea is to also pass these values to function calls. So the evaluation of the values is only done in a deferred way. It would only happen later if the value is actually accessed. This could avoid accessing certain values if they are not necessary at all.
Like a lazy loader, I think, hence the name lazy.
Yeah.
And about other languages, Lua actually has meta methods, which is exactly something like that. And you can do different stuff with it, up to enhancing the language. So I would really, I am not using PHP much, but this feature seems kind of awesome. It could open up decent extending.
Yeah. I think it could be useful. I think it could be useful in those cases that you may call a function that may use the value or not. And in this case, it could be, for instance, a database access. And that access could be expensive. So if the value ends up not being used on the function, it is this code will never be executed, so could actually save some time by not performing certain expensive operations that are not necessary.
True. But the default example in Lua is to, for example, there is a class with getters like get x coordinate, get y coordinate, and if you are fed up of writing get x, get y all the time, you just create rt with this method which automatically returns get x value. So you're just accessing instance point dot x, and that's all. And you can even assign value to it and get value parameter. Basically, you're using property, but underneath accessing and executing methods. So it's small part to write to get the same functionality.
Yeah. Well, this is, I think this is only really, really useful if the actual code that would be executed is sort of expensive in terms of the time it needs to execute, or even it could call a database and so on. So if you have a certain variable that is assigned but then is not used anywhere, you could avoid just calling this code. So you gain some performance, I believe, that is the purpose of this proposal. So, okay, moving on to the next proposal, which is about precisely having a way for the function getType to return the class name when the type of the value being passed is an object. So, this would like doing this if a value is object, it would return the class. If the value is something else, it would return the type of that value. And this is just to avoid certain circumstances that, for instance, if when you have an object, you want to have the actual class of the object, so you don't have to make a second call just to get the class. So is to have a second parameter to the get type function, and if it is true, it will return the name of the class in case it is an object. If it is missing or it's false, it will return just object, the string object. So I think, well, I never have need for this, but I, for those that have code like this, it will be useful and it would save some code to avoid typing this many times. So
and I think we should also mention that we did actually discussed similar proposal last time in previous podcast.
Oh yes, the var info, var type. But from what I remember, those proposals were not accepted.
Yeah, but
if I'm not mistaken.
The main point is that not one, but multiple users need it. So probably there is a real need for dealing at least with this specific object type instance. Yeah, issue.
Yeah, could be. Could be. Well, could be a solution for when you have you want to get the class name of an object, just in when it is an object. Okay, moving on to the next proposal. This is a bit more complicated, but let's try to understand what it is meant to propose. It's an RFC called structured object notation. It has nothing to do with JSON. But since it has object notation in the name, some people could think, oh, this is related. So the idea here is for, at least in the opinion of the author, to avoid spaghetti code. He thinks that when you define a class and you call its methods like this, it's a bit spaghetti code. So he was suggesting to instantiate objects on the fly with the following definition. So could define an object to be assigned to a variable. In this, it is instance of a class named B, which is this definition. Well, I don't know if this is really valuable, really interesting.
This is interesting, but I don't know. It's not the overview.
I don't know what is the gain of doing this. And introducing a new syntax to do something that we are already getting used for many years and understand well. I don't even know why the guy thinks this is spaghetti code. I can perfectly read it.
I think the main point, at least as I got from his article, that this code is out of the scope of any class. It's in a global scope, and that is the bad part. But why it's a spaghetti code, I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. This is still a proposal, and it was not yet started voted. But I don't know if it will get much support. We'll have to wait and see. So moving on to another RFC. This one is about something that sometimes I think this is useful, which. Is to detect things that you may be having bugs. For instance, when you have when you access a variable as if it is an array, you put some index values, and for some reason the variable itself is not an array. What happens is that it will just return null, as in undefined value, but a null of the value of a certain array index that is not an array, it's null, does not make much sense. So the proposal here is to issue a warning. And, well, this could be interesting. I just don't know if probably people will prefer that it throws an exception, because now in PHP every error is an exception. Well, whatever, being a warning or an exception is always useful, so you can detect invalid accesses to values that are not arrays, and which when it happens in your code, it's probably a bug. So
I think that the main point might be that if you use something like that, at least with even with multiple, then array accesses, then the error that you will have would not really tell you what's happening, or maybe I don't know just what error it would be, but maybe you would not be able to understand what exactly you're doing wrong. But the warning they suggest, it specifically tells that variable of type boolean does not accept array offsets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the most valuable thing from this.
Yes, this is. I could swear that PHP already threw warnings when you attempt to access a value that is not an array, but I may be misunderstanding something here. Well, if it is not issue a warning or throw an exception, I think it should, because, well, an exception may be too drastic, as an exception may actually stop the code to work when sometimes it's not a serious bug. It's a bug, but it's not serious. Maybe you missed a check to access something that is not an array, but the rest of the code should execute. And well, I think this is interesting. At least a warning should be something that should be thrown in, that it could be useful. Well, that is something that is still being discussed. There is no, actually, the I think it says the poll has been closed, but I'm not sure if the poll for the proposal was ever started. So I'm not sure what is the status of this proposal. Hello, now we are going to talk about the Innovation Award winners and nominees, starting from JS classes and then with PHP classes. But first, I would like just to show you that since early this year, the Innovation Award winners at PHP classes have been starting getting, being able to pick as prize the PHP elephant. And as you may see here, this is the picture of the elephant that in this case it was sent to Jobert for being the winner of June Innovation Award 2016. And we also, I'm probably not being able to find, but in other months, there were also winners that picked the elephant. And for those that have not seen this, there is this stripe with the name of the winner. And that's what is being sent to winners that pick this prize. Usually, it is the first prize that each one of the winners picks in the Innovation Award. So, for those that were nominated could not pick it, next time try to be the winner so you can pick the elephant. And okay, so let's move on. Talking about the nominees of JS classes. Artus, which ones would you like to comment?
Yes, let me share the screen. Today my screens are switched, so I have problem orientating. Do you see correct screen with JS classes?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so the first package I wanted to comment on is JS Subtitle Grabber, which was developed by Andres Todd. And well, actually by description, it's really interesting. I have no idea how it's done, but basically it extracts subtitles from the videos and it can even make it available to download as a SRT format, which is a standard for subtitle format, I think. So basically it uses some kind of HTML5 trick to parse the video and extract the subtitles probably.
Yeah, I think the information is contained in the video, if I got this right.
Yeah, it should be developed as, I think, Chrome extension or something like that. But I think it's simple. Yeah, it's just JavaScript, so someone can create Chrome extension from this one.
Yeah, I think there is a Chrome extension from the same author that uses that code for to do that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Andras Not is from Hungary. Yeah. Oh, we all know he's quite a lot has quite a lot of contributions in JS classes.
Yeah.
The second package is a JavaScript string format developed by Sergio Flores Genis from Mexico, and basically it's a method to a package that allows you format string in a kind of print format that we all know in available in C++. Let me see if there is an example. So yeah, it could look something like this. What was the original text? I'm just trying to find the example.
Yeah, it's similar to printf, but not exactly the same syntax. But I think the purpose is the same.
Yeah, the idea is similar.
Yeah, I don't think there is anything built in JavaScript that provides this string formatting method.
Me too. I don't think there is anything like that. Okay, as I see, none of them have picked any prizes yet.
Actually, they have picked, but they are arguing between them which one will pick the same prize.
Okay.
So I'm waiting for their responses regarding, but I think they picked the O'Reilly Book Prize. So on my behalf, I would like also to comment on a few packages. Let me share the screen here. Where is it? Okay. I think maybe I need to increase the font here, right? Okay, so the first package that I would like to comment is JavaScript MPEG Parser, basically. This is yet another package for parsing files in different video formats. So the author, Dantigny Francois from France, has submitted different packages for this. In this case, it is the MPEG 1 or 2 format. Not being used much these days, but you may still have old MPEG files to upload, so it is able to extract information from those video files, parsing the file data. So the other package that I wanted to comment is JavaScript Bracket Matching Checker, which is a quite simple package. What it can do is like looking at a string and parse it to see if the brackets that it contains are matching. So if you have a regular bracket or a square bracket or a curly brace, you could pass the string and see if there is a complementary closed bracket. So that is the purpose of this simple pass. It may be useful to perform a quick check on the syntax of an expression. Could be a math expression, could it even be an expression of, or could be code in many different languages that use these kinds of brackets. So the author, Akoban from Armenia, sent this submission, so it was interesting. Now, moving on to take a look how it is going, the Innovation Award winner ranking 2016. So far, Andras Toth from Hungary is in first place with 5 packages and 19 points. Dantini Francois is almost tied with 5 packages and 18 points. He's from France. Then Juan Jose with 1 package and 6 points. As well as Zimonek from Brazil with 1 package and 5 points. He's tied with Carl Holtz from Canada. Then Till Wioski with 1 package and 3 points. He's tied with Stefan Shepman from Australia, Kioan Acoban, and Sergio Flores Janis from Mexico. In terms of countries, as you may see, the relation between the authors and the countries is not exactly the same anymore. So far, France is in first place with 6 packages, 21 points. Then Hungary with 5 packages and 19 points. Then Spain with 1 package, 6 points. Brazil with 1 package, 5 points. It's tied with Canada. And in 6, there is Armenia and Mexico tied with 2 packages, 4 points. Then comes Australia and Germany with 1 package, 3 points. And finally, India with 1 package, 2 points. So this is for the JavaScript Innovation Award. Now, moving on to the PHP Innovation Award, we comment about the winners of May. So we had like 16 nominees. And these nominees were voted in June. So in July, the results come out. So now we can comment about their results. Arthur, which ones would you like to comment?
Okay, I hope I shared the correct screen. Seems so. The first one I wanted to comment is MoveMe GIF or GIF. I know there is usually discussion about how the format is called originally. I think I prefer GIF for now. The author is Patrick Van Bergen from Netherlands. And this package can create GIF images in pure PHP. So that's something I thought was quite impressive. So basically, it can compose an animation from multiple images that you provide, like frames, or even do some sequence of images on some specific background and stuff like that. So you can create like a GIF making studio in PHP with this package, which seems to be awesome to me. And he got a PHP Storm ID personal permanent license for this package. Oh, there is even a first example. Or animation on the background. So, as you see, quite impressive.
Yeah, there are already other packages to perform animations. This one, generate GIF animations, but this one does something nice, which is to actually overlay a static image on the background, so it can create multiple layer animations.
The next one I wanted to comment on is Event Bus by Jeremiah Ogbomo from Nigeria. And well, I think, yeah, again, there are multiple classes that can emit and handle, dispatch, and listen to events and stuff like that. What this class does, it accepts wildcards. So you can use a wildcard, a star symbol, to match families of event types. So it's like a simplified regular expression to match events for which you want to listen only using the wildcard or to replace some part of the text. And Jeremiah got one ebook of choice by Pact for this package.
So on my behalf, I also like to comment on several packages. This month we had many packages. Okay, at the previous month we had many more packages, like 18. This month we had 16, but still a lot. Another package, this time also from Christian V from France, is called Random Access File. This is basically a library that can perform on manipulation of data on files of fixed length. And fixed length records are used to store data in databases because to make it easier to find the records in a table, you need to have like a fixed length for each record. So if you want to access the record number 10, you just multiply the size of the record by the number of the row, in this case 10, and so you can find the position of the record inside the file. So Christian developed this package that does precisely that. So this could be the base of a pure PHP solution to create a database management system built in PHP. So this is nice. So moving on to the next package. Oh, before somebody asks, since Christian already picked a prize this month, he will only get that prize even if he has other nominated packages. So the next package that I would like to comment is CSS Magic from Everton de Rosa, and he developed a programmatic interface to access CSS stylesheets. So you have classes for wall stylesheets that he calls themes, and there you can define selectors which define how to match the elements on the DOM that will have those CSS styles. And he also has a class that defines the actual properties of the style. So you can add properties, you can define selectors that have properties, and then you add that to a wall style sheet that he calls themes, and then you have a programmatic interface to create CSS style sheets in a way that you could find them with PHP code. Let's talk finally about the Innovation Award winners ranking. So far, this became very competitive because different authors are progressing, and they are also affecting the rankings of the countries. For instance, in first place, there is Christian V as the leading author with 6 packages and 43 points. Then Bharat Parmar with 3 packages and 34 points. Then Dave Smith with 4 packages and 32 points. Johnny Mast from Netherlands with 2 packages and 28 points. Jeremy Ogbomo with 2 packages and 26 points. Then comes Kasper Ruinski with 2 packages and 34 points from Poland. Luciano Salvino from Argentina with 2 packages and 34 points. Andrea Batalocchi with 2 packages and 20 points. Then Gabriel Cotto from Brazil with 1 package and 10 points. And finally, Mohamed Ashal with 1 package and 17 points. This is by author, no, by countries. First place is now occupied by Brazil with 7 packages and 81 points. And it still seems that Brazil's getting some distance from the other countries because until last month they were very close. So in second place, there is France with 9 packages and 69 points. Then United States with 9 packages and 61 points. Then India with 5 packages and 60 points. And then Russia with 4 packages and 45 points. Then Netherlands with 3 packages and 42 points. Nigeria with 4 packages and 39 points. Then Italy with 4 packages and 36 points. And with 3 packages and 29 points. And finally Spain with 4 packages and 28 points. So basically, with this, we reached the end of the Innovation Award winners edition of August. The competition is becoming very interesting, and you still have several months to go until the end of the year. And many nice packages are being nominated for the Innovation Award. So let's see how these evolve. And so we'll get back to this next month on the following nominees. Anyway, with this, we practically end this edition of the Lately in PHP podcast. As always, I would like to thank Arthurs for coming and helping to comment on these latest developments of the PHP world. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.